Hello, my name is Brett Statham, and welcome back to the Particle Photon Weather Station video series. This is the third video, part 3 of 6, Photon DHT11 circuit, webhook, and code. You can grab a copy of the slides and code that you need to follow along with this video series at aka.ms/PPWS. That's short for Particle Photon Weather Station. And in the first video, we gave an overview of the solution architecture that we're building through this series of videos. And in the previous two videos, we went into Azure, got our Azure Service Bus namespace and Event Hub set up. And then in the second video, we came back and got set up for the Particle Cloud and got our Photon connected to Wi-Fi and claimed for our use. In this video, we're going to come back in and hook up the DHT11 sensor to our Photon. Then we'll create a webhook up in the Particle Cloud to act as a middleman between the code running on our Photon and our Azure Event Hub. And then we'll actually deploy the code to the Photon to read the sensor values, publish them through the webhook up into Azure. Now, these DHT11 sensors are pretty common, but they come in a couple of different forms depending on how you purchase them. So you might have gotten a standalone 4-pin sensor. And if you notice the pins, the third one from the left there is not used. There's the VCC and the data, then a not used pin, and then the ground. So if you have one of those standalone 4-pin sensors, you also need to hook up an external resistor between the VCC and the data lines, and I'll show you what that looks like here in just a second. The other way you may have purchased it is in a pre-configured sort of 3-pin sensor format, and that's where the fourth pin or the pin that we didn't need just isn't exposed. We just get the VCC data and ground, and these boards typically also have the pull-up resistor pre-installed for you, so you don't need to do that. So if you got one of the standalone 4-pin sensors, you'll need to go track down a 10K ohm resistor that you can plug between the VCC and the data lines. And on a breadboard, that might look something like this, where I've got the VCC line coming out of the sensor into the 3V3 pin on my Photon, and then I've got the data pin coming into the D2 digital pin on the Photon, but then I've hooked up this 10K ohm resistor sort of between those two just by, you know, moving some jumpers around on the breadboard. And then the ground pin on the sensor hooks up to the ground pin on the Photon. If you have one of the pre-configured sensors, it's a little bit simpler because you don't need to mess with that external 10K ohm resistor. Just VCC goes to the 3V3, data goes to the D2, and ground goes to the ground. So regardless of which type you have, they both hook up to the same pins on the Photon. The VCC on the sensor goes to 3V3 on the Photon, the data pin on the sensor goes to D2 on the Photon, and the ground pin on the sensor goes to the ground pin on the Photon. So with that, let's jump over and wire up our circuit. All right, well, I've got the camera pointing down at my Photon here. We see that we've left off from the previous demo where our Photon is connected, breathing cyan, and happily connected to the cloud. But before I start plugging jumpers and things like that up to it, I want to go ahead and disconnect it from power. So I'm going to unplug the USB cable just to get it safe. And if you'd gone out and purchased one of those pre-configured DHT sensors, you probably got it in a little package like this. And the sensor itself, you'll notice, has just the 3 pins coming out of it. And then on the back is that 4K or 10K pull-up resistor, so we don't have to solder that in. It also likely came along with some jumper wires, although mine came with female-female jumpers. And since I want to hook it up on the breadboard, I need male-male jumpers. So I had plenty of those sitting around. I just grabbed some to use. So to hook this all up, I'm going to grab my Photon, the DHT11 sensor, and I'll just get it plugged in here onto the breadboard. And then I'm going to grab one of the jumpers to hook up between the voltage line. So we'll go to there. And that's going to hook up to the 3V3 pin over here in my Photon. Then we'll grab another jumper, hook it up to the data pin on the sensor. And that's going to go off to the D2 pin on the Photon. And then lastly, we're going to grab the third pin, the ground pin, off the sensor. And we'll hook that up to the ground pin on the Photon. And there's ground on both sides. I'm just going to use the one on this side. And that's about it. At that point, I've got my circuit all wired up, so I can go ahead and plug my Photon back in. And it should sync up, connect to the Wi-Fi, and come back as a happy, cyan-breathing Photon. There we go. So now we're ready to move on and create the Publish to Event Hub webhook. And that acts as a middleman between the code running on our Photon and our Azure Event Hub. The source code for the definition of that webhook is actually part of the source code repository. So you can actually jump up to the GitHub repo at aka.ms/ppws and download a zip file of the repository. And then when you extract that in the code, webhook, and photon code subfolders, you'll find the webhook.json file. And if you actually open up that file and look inside it, this is what the source code looks like. So we're going to talk through this here. First, at the very top is this event property. And this is where we name the event that the Particle Cloud is going to listen for that causes it to trigger this webhook. And so I decided to call it Publish to Event Hub, because that's what this webhook does, is it publishes data to my event hub for me. But it's just a name. You could have called it Fred or Ethel or Festus or whatever. But since that's what this webhook does, I figured that was a good name. And so if you look in the orange box there, you can see that on the Photon, what I'll do is I'll issue this particle.publish command, and I'll tell it the name of the event that I'm trying to trigger up in the Particle Cloud, and then I'll give it some data payload that I want it to act on. And so the Particle Cloud's going to listen for me firing that event to go, oh, I've got this webhook associated with this. Let me take that payload and do something with it. And so what it's going to do is forward that data off to this URL. And notice that that is my event hub's messaging endpoint. Now, there's a couple of placeholders in there. There's this your service bus name and your event hub name, sort of angle bracket placeholders. And so we're going to replace those with our actual service bus namespace name and our event hub name that we created back in the first video. The webhook then is going to post some data up to that URL, and this is what that data is going to look like. So I define this JSON structure that makes up the data payload that eventually makes it up to the Azure Event Hub. This is the structure of sort of my own choosing. I've got the subject property and a unit of measure, a measure name and a value, my organization and display name. You could make up your own properties here. You just need to make sure that your Photon is going to supply values for those properties. And so this is kind of what the payload coming out of the Photon is going to look like. Notice that in the template in the webhook, I've got these double curly braces around this S and the U and the M and the V and the O and the D and the L. And so those are placeholders for values that are going to come out of the payload from the Photon. So if you look inside the orange box, that's kind of what the Photon's payload looks like. And I've got an S property of weather. So weather gets mapped over to the subject in the webhook's template. F for the unit of measure, temperature for the measure name, 79.234 for the value, etc. You'll notice there's also a couple of special placeholders down here at the bottom. The Spark published at and Spark core ID are system supplied values. So the Spark published at is the UTC date time that the webhook was fired. And the GUID is going to get the Spark core ID. And that's that internal unique ID. Remember that every Photon has. The Spark and core names come from sort of older devices. And previously the company Particle was called Spark. So that's where that stuff comes from. But they work. They're going to pull my Photon's ID and stick that in for the GUID. And then also remember that when we created our Event Hub, I created this SAS policy for my Publish to Event Hub webhook. And so I'm going to need to put in that policy name and then that key. Remember, there were the primary or secondary keys for that token. And so I'll put in that Publish to Event Hub webhook key name and then the primary key value for that so it has permissions to connect to my Event Hub. And then lastly, we've got this My Device is True. And that makes sure that only my devices from my cloud account have permissions to trigger this webhook. I don't want somebody else's devices sending data through my webhook off into my Azure Event Hub. So that My Device is True restricts that. So we've got some Particle CLI commands that we can use to manage webhooks up in our Particle Cloud account. We'll use Particle webhook create and point it at our modified webhook.json with our service bus name and event hub names and SAS policy names and keys in there. And that'll go read that JSON and then connect up to the cloud and create that webhook for us. We can also do Particle webhook list to see the existing webhooks that we have, as well as retrieve their IDs. And then we can do Particle webhook delete, and it can go out and get rid of that webhook for us. Pretty easy. So let's jump in and go create our webhook. All right, well, to get started, I need to go download the source code from the GitHub repository. So I'm going to go to that aka.ms ppws URL. That brings me up to the GitHub repo. You can see the slides and the code are up there. I'm just going to click this download zip button to get the whole repository as a zip file. And I'll just go into my downloads folder. Now, before I extract this in Windows, I want to right-click on it, come down to properties, and unblock it. And that'll let Windows trust the contents of this file. So now I can right-click on that, do an extract all, and I'll just extract it right off the root to PPWS. And inside there's the repository folder, and then I can see the slides. So that's where the PowerPoint deck is at. And I've got the code. And inside the webhook and Photon code folder is where that webhook.json is. So I want to open this up in a text editor, and I'm going to go ahead and use Visual Studio Code, but it's just a text editor. Use whatever text editor you like. I'm going to right-click out here and just open the entire folder up with code. So Visual Studio Code opens that folder up for me, and I can see my webhook.json. And if I select it, here's the contents of the file that we were looking at back in the slides. So up here is where I need to replace these placeholders with my service bus name, my event hub name, and then down below, my SaaS policy key name and SaaS policy key. And those are all up in Azure. So I'll go ahead and navigate back to the browser and open up that classic Azure management portal at manage.windowsazure.com. If prompted, log in with your credentials. And then I'm going to go ahead from service bus and open up that service bus namespace. And there's my Azure service bus namespace. So I'm actually gonna copy that and go back to code and take this first placeholder for my service bus namespace and just paste that name in. And then of course for the event hub, I can go back to the portal and drill into my event hubs. And there's that hub, and I'll copy that name. Of course, I know the convention, I could have just typed them in, but this makes sure that I get them exactly right and I don't make any typos. Great. So now I also need the SaaS policy name and SaaS key. So back to the portal, I can go into configure. And remember, I had made a SaaS policy specifically for the publish to event hub webhook. And so the key for that is down here. But here's the name. I'll go ahead and copy that back over to code. I'm going to replace the key name with that name. And then the key itself is down here. Remember I said you could use either the primary or the secondary. Just makes sense to use the primary one. So I'll go ahead and just copy that key. And then back over to Visual Studio Code, I'll replace the key value with that. Notice that the key ends in an equal sign. So as long as you started copying from the beginning, if you've got an equal sign at the end, you know you have the entire key. Great. So I can save that up. And now I want to get back out to a command prompt. All right, and then I can just stretch this window out a little bit more. And we'll change into that PPWS folder, and then into the repo folder, into code, and then into webhook and Photon code. And if I do a directory, I can see that webhook.json sitting in there. And so at this point, I want to just do a particle webhook list. And I can see that I don't currently have any webhooks associated with my cloud account. So I want to create one, particle webhook create, and I'll point it off at that webhook.json file. And it's going to go parse that file. As long as it's syntactically correct, it creates the webhook for me, and I'm good to go. Now if I do a particle webhook list, I can see it there. Notice it gives me the hook ID, and it says it is watching for publish to event hub. So that's the event hub name, or sorry, the webhook name that it's listening for. So that's awesome. So I've got this to go. And of course, if I needed to delete it, I could copy this ID and do a particle webhook delete and then paste that ID in. But I'm good to go. So at this point, we've got our webhook created. Next, we need to get in and start deploying code down to our Photon. So let's talk about that code. In the same folder where the webhook.json was that we were just working with, there's another file called particlephotonweatherstation.c. And if we jump inside there, this is the actual code that we're going to deploy down to the Photon. So at the very top of that code file, the first thing we do is include a library from Adafruit. And Adafruit's a company that sells lots of awesome components for boards like the Photon. And they have a library for working with these DHT temperature and humidity sensors. The sensors themselves have some very specific timing requirements as to how you request and receive the values. So having this Adafruit library makes our life a lot easier. The Adafruit library needs to know which digital pin we have the data pin from the sensor hooked up to. And if you recall, we hooked ours up to digital pin D2, so we have the 2 there for that. And we specifically are using a DHT11 temperature and humidity sensor, although the library does support the DHT22 and DHT21s. So if you have one of those, you could enter in the appropriate value for that. And then finally, we declare the DHT object and tell it that it's going to be using digital pin D2 and what type it is. We then also have some variables that are going to make up part of the payload that gets sent up to the Particle Cloud webhook and then eventually off to the Azure Event Hub and then finally down to our consuming applications. And so this is an opportunity for us to put in our own organization name, you know, the device display name and its location. So for myself, I might use maybe Microsoft as the organization name, maybe Brett's Photon is the display name, and the location is San Diego. But put values in for yourself that are meaningful. Next, we have this send delay variable, and initially it's set to 6,000, that's milliseconds or 6 seconds. And that's to help reduce the rate limit errors that the Particle Cloud could produce. The Particle Cloud limits each device to sending only 10 events or firing only 10 webhooks per minute. And so at 10 per minute, that means once every 6 seconds. So we leave the send delay at 6 seconds there just to cut down the rate limit errors on the Particle Cloud backend. You would not want to set send delay to anything less than 6,000 because you're just going to generate errors. You could, however, increase it if you really don't need your sensor values that often, and that would help reduce the load on the Particle Cloud on the backend. Then we have our traditional wiring setup method. This gets fired once as the program first runs on your Photon. So the first thing we do is initialize that DHT sensor and get it ready to start receiving values. We'll then also initialize the serial port. And that's just so if you have the USB cable hooked up to your Photon locally, you can monitor its activity over the serial port. And then we kick off a 10,000 millisecond or 10 second delay that just gives that DHT sensor time to stabilize. Then we jump into the wiring loop method. And the loop method, as its name implies, just gets called over and over and over again. So the first thing we do is actually go use that DHT sensor to get the sensor values. So we call the get humidity and stick the result into this H float variable. The Celsius temperature goes into T and the Fahrenheit temperature goes into F. We want to check to make sure that we actually got sensor values, though, because we don't want to forward those off to the webhook and then into Azure if they're bad values. So we do this is NaN or is not a number check on the H, T, and F variables just to make sure that we actually got numbers back. And if any is not a number, then we're going to use the serial object to print out some diagnostic information to the local serial port. And then we return, which exits the loop method and allows it to just run again and try reading the sensors again. If, however, everything checks out, we again print some diagnostic information out to the serial port, just letting them know that we did get sensor values and everything looks good. But now we're ready to actually build the payload that we're going to ship up to the webhook. So we declare this payload character array here, and then we use the format print string function here to generate our JSON structure. Now on the screen, I've wrapped this JSON literal across multiple lines just to make it easier to understand. In the source, you'll see it's just one big long string there. But for the S property, we send in weather. For the U property, we send in F for Fahrenheit. For the measure name, this is our temperature. So this is building our temperature payload that we're going to ship up to the webhook and then off to Azure. So we take that F Fahrenheit variable and we send it into this %F float placeholder in the format print string. Our organization name goes in for the O property, the display name goes in for D, and the location goes in for L. And that builds this JSON payload that we end up shipping up to the Particle Cloud with this particle publish command down below. And there you can see that publish to Event Hub event name, and this is the data payload that we're going to ship up to it. We also print that information out to the serial port for diagnostic monitoring. Then we actually call particle publish and send the payload up to that event and trigger the webhook. And then that delay, that's that 6 second delay that we have in there just to keep us from exploiting the Particle Cloud backend and causing rate limit errors. And then we do the exact same thing again, but for the humidity data. So again, in this case, it's the humidity payload that we're producing, and that H humidity variable from our DHT sensor gets stuck into that percent of float placeholder in the format print string, and then again, the organization display and location, that makes up that humidity payload that we end up shipping off as the payload property in our particle publish cloud call. We again print the diagnostic information out to the serial port, actually publish the data up to the webhook using that particle publish, publish to event hub call, and then again our 6-second delay to prevent rate limit errors, and then we close up the loop method. And that's it. That's all of the code that we have deployed down to the Photon. Now, once the Photon has the code deployed, I mentioned that there were a bunch of serial print line diagnostic statements in there, so you can monitor those locally if you have the Photon connected up to your local workstation using that USB cable. Make sure that the Photon's actually running, so in this case, we actually don't want it in listening mode. We want it breathing cyan and up and happy, and then we can do particle serial monitor, and that'll just connect up to the serial port, COM3 in the case on my slides there, but whichever one your Photon's connected to, and start receiving those serial print lines. Now, this is really just regular serial communications. You could use any serial terminal that you wanted to. Just in the setup method, remember I said serial.begin 9600, so you'd want to set your terminal to connect at 9600 baud, and then 8 and 1 for the parity and stop bits and stuff. So, all right. So that's a way to monitor the serial port. You can also monitor the webhook activity up in the particle cloud. So you can do that first with the CLI. There's a particle subscribe mine. And what that's going to actually do is from your workstation, go up to the particle cloud and say, hey, cloud, tell me about any events that get fired from my devices. And anytime the Photon goes up to the particle cloud and fires that, we're going to learn about that. It'll actually send that event data back down to my workstation. So we're not monitoring the Photon. We're monitoring the cloud with this. So that's pretty cool. In fact, if you look in the screen capture there, you'll notice that there's even these hook sent publish to event hub messages, and those are status messages letting us know that the webhook was successfully called and sent its data off to the Azure Event Hub. We also have the Particle dashboard at the URL there. Log in with your Particle Cloud account, and you'll get the exact same data that Particle Subscribe Mine gives you. It just gives it to you in a browsery, more graphical format. And then lastly, you can go into the Azure Management Portal and drill into your Event Hub. And on the dashboard page for the Event Hub, you can get some statistical reporting on the messages and any errors and things like that. Just be aware that it takes a little bit of time for that data to aggregate. So if you've just started, it's probably going to take somewhere between, I would guess, 10 and 15 minutes before you actually start seeing data showing up on your Event Hub dashboard there. But with that, let's jump in, deploy our code down to the Photon, and get this thing running. All right, well, to deploy code down to the Photon, we need to get into that build IDE. So remember, I can go to particle.io, and then from that homepage, I can click on the build link, and if needed, log in with my account. Looks like I'm already logged in. And since this is the first app that I've created in my account, it's just immediately prompting me for a title for this app. So I'm going to call this my Particle Photon Weather Station. There we go. And if I just press enter on it, it goes and creates that app for me. Now, if you already had another app on your Photon or for your Photon, whatever, you could just hit the create new app button to start this one. And notice it starts me out with this sort of empty app here with the void setup and void loop methods. We've already got our source code, but before we actually paste our source code in, I want to first go pull in the Adafruit DHT library. So looking at the icons over here on the left, I've got this button which will save my app for me. We can also verify or compile it and actually eventually flash it, which will deploy it down to the Photon. This button down here gets me back to my code. So that's where the Particle Photon Weather Station or any other apps that I might have are. And then the bookmark icon down here gets me to the libraries. And so that's where I'm going to go to get to that Adafruit DHT library. So I'm just going to, in the type defined box down here, type DHT, looking for a DHT library. And there's the Adafruit one that we want. So I'll pick that library name. And it shows me what's in the library and the header files and code files and a sample file. I don't need to actually look at those. I just want to include this library in my app. So I'll just hit the Include in App button. And that brings that Adafruit library into my Particle Photon Weather Station apps code space, and also adds in this little include command up here at the top. But I actually have all the source code I need for this, and remember that was downloaded here with the GitHub repo. We downloaded this and extracted it previously. It's in that same folder where the webhook.json was, and here's this particlephotonweatherstation.c. And in fact, earlier we had opened this up, this whole folder up in Visual Studio Code. So we were looking at the webhook.json previously. Now we've got the particlephotonweatherstation.c. So I could modify it here, or I could modify it in the browser. I'm going to go ahead and just modify it in the browser. So I'll just click into the code file, Control A to copy all, and Control C. Then back over here, I'll select all the code and Control V to paste that all in. Great. So now I've got my source code in here, and really, we talked through all of this before, so you should have seen all this code here, but the only thing I really need to customize are these three variables up here. So for my organization name, I'll go ahead and put in Microsoft. For the display name, this is going to be Brett's PPWS, Particle Photon Weather Station, and I'm out in San Diego. So I'll stick those values in there. And then I can hit the save button just to save that program up. Now, I could come in and verify this. So if I click on verify, it compiles the code and I should get code verified. So that's good. If you had any typos or syntax errors, you'd get details about those down here. But before I actually flash it, I want to come down to this next tab, which is the devices tab. And that shows me the actual particle devices that I have associated with my account. And notice I have this PPWS Photon, and that's from that earlier video where we came in and claimed our Photon, giving it this ID, right? So this was the unique ID for it. We did a device add, we pasted in that ID, and that claimed that Photon for my account. And then we did a device rename, and that gave it this PPWS Photon name here. Now, if you knew the ID, you could also have come in here and just said add new device, pasted that ID in, and given it a name here in the browser. We just did it through the particle CLI. So this is the Photon I want to work with. Notice here it's actually showing me this sort of breathing cyan. And in fact, if I were to go back over to my camera preview, sure enough, I can see my Photon is online. So this breathing cyan here is mimicked by the breathing cyan here. The one other thing is if you have more than one particle device that you can deploy code to, you need to tell it which one you want it to go to when you hit flash. And so if you do have more than one, there will be a little star icon over here that you click on to indicate the active device that you're going to be flashing. But since I only have one, I don't need to worry about that. So I'm good to go here. I want to go ahead and get this window stuck over here to the side so we can see both the Photon and my build IDE. Again, we've already compiled it. That all went well. So I want to actually flash it. Now, when I do that, watch the LED here in the center of the Photon, and you'll actually see it flicker magenta probably pretty briefly, but that's it receiving this firmware update from the cloud, and then it's going to do a quick little reboot, come back up, and it should start running my code. So I'm going to hit flash. I see down here flashing code. Let's watch that LED. There's that magenta blink. Boy, that was pretty quick. It's already rebooted and coming back up. And there it is, breathing cyan. So that easy, my Photon has now got this code deployed down to it. It's booted back up, and it should be actively starting to read those sensor values off the DHT sensor, generating those payloads, and shipping it up to my Azure Event Hub. Awesome. So now let's jump over to our command prompt. Again, I'll get this over here on the side, although we don't really need to see the Photon anymore. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and just let this guy go maximized here. And I'm going to do a particle serial monitor. And remember that Photon is emitting these serial print line messages for us. And so we should start to see those coming out here. And there you go. Here's the sensor values it's reading. So currently it's getting 31 for the humidity, 21 Celsius for the temperature, and 69 for the Fahrenheit. And then here's the temperature payload and the humidity payload. Now notice the temperature payload prints, and then it takes about 6 seconds before it goes and does the humidity payload, and takes about another 6 seconds before it repeats and starts over. So those are those 6 second delays that we have in there to help reduce rate limit errors on the particle cloud back end. Now, if I actually did, and we will go ahead and drag this over here, let me go ahead and actually touch my temperature sensor. I'm going to stick my fingers on it. Remember, I said it's kind of slow to respond, so I'll have to keep it on there for a little bit before we see our temperature values change. But I can kind of watch this 69.8 that's coming up here to see what happens. And actually, the humidity should change as well. So I'm clamping on here. All right. And now I can see the Fahrenheit temp has jumped up now from the old 69.8. It's now 71.6. So I definitely am affecting it. And in fact, I should have seen, yep, the humidity went from 31 to 32, and it's still climbing. So the you can see that these sensors are a little slow to respond, but it's working, right? So now let me control C out of this. And remember, this is monitoring the photon locally. I also could do the particle subscribe mine, and that's going to actually go receive the events back from the particle cloud. So I can see here that we sent the publish to event hub. This one was a temperature message. And then I can also see that that hook was sent off to the particle, off to the Azure event hub successfully. And then we got the humidity coming in, another temperature one, et cetera. So I'm at this point monitoring the particle cloud activity with that webhook and seeing if it's successfully sending the messages off to my Azure event hub. So that all looks good. I also mentioned that you could monitor that in your browser. Sorry, let's get out of that. And there we go. I've had some issues with the current version of the particle dashboard in Edge, so I'll pull this one up in Chrome. And of course, Chrome came up on my other screen. Here we go. But we'll do a particle.io. And right next to build, notice there's this dashboard link. So I'll click into there. Again, if prompted, log in with your credentials. So there they are. And there's the device, but I want to switch over to logs. And you can start to see those same publish to event hub messages coming through. And if you actually click on the message, you can see the actual payload down below. Let's let a couple of these run through. All right, and you can start to see that it generates sort of this little chart of the activity up here as well. The blue ones are the publish to event hub webhooks, and the purple ones are the successful sends off to the Azure event hub. So that's pretty cool. And then lastly, in fact, what the heck, we'll just use Chrome for this as well, but if I go into the classic management portal and sign in, and I can drill into my service bus namespace, into the event hubs, and into my hub. And after a little while, we'll start to see some statistical message data being reported up here. So I'm going to go ahead and just pause for a little bit. And when I've got some data coming back in, I'll resume it and show you what that looks like. All right. Well, I'm starting to get some statistics coming back on this dashboard here. And you can see it's 9:05 p.m. my time right now. And I'm getting messages from about 15 minutes ago reflected here. So like I said, probably about a 15-minute latency in how quickly data shows up on this chart here for you. But I can see that I've got messages coming in. Those are incoming messages. The data throughput, I don't see any of those sort of light green internal server error points. So that's good news. And it looks like I've got messages coming into my event hub. Well, this video was a little bit longer than the previous ones, but we had a fair amount of work to do. We started out by wiring that DHT11 sensor up to our Photon. We created the webhook to act as that middleman between our Photon and our Azure Event Hub, and then we deployed code down to our Photon to actually start reading sensor values, sending data payloads up to the webhook, and then from there, off to the Azure Event Hub. So at this point, we now have messages in our Azure Event Hub ready to be consumed. In the next video, we're going to come back in and take a look at using a stream analytics job to pull messages out of that event hub and forward them off to a Power BI data set so that we can then go in and create visualizations and reports and dashboards up in Power BI. So look forward to seeing you back in part 4.